We are going to start out today in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer it to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We are to offer God service. A service that is rendered with both the attitude of reverence and godly fear. And now when we talk about reverence, it's not a word that we typically use very much in our very independent-minded society that we have. But reverence means a feeling of profound awe, of respect, and often love. Another synonym for it is veneration. The word literally means with downcast eyes, or to be bashful. You have so much respect, so much awe of the person or that you're going before, or God that you're standing before, that you're embarrassed even to look. In Psalms chapter 2, Psalms chapter 2, and in verse 11, Psalms 2 and verse 11 says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Now, we don't normally think about being happy and shaking. But that's the idea that we come before God. We're happy to be there, but we still have a fear of who God is. We have respect for the position that He holds. In our reading that we had in Psalms 89. If we go back to that one, I want you to again notice what it says there in Psalms 89. We're going to start at verse 5. It says, the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the sky is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You yourself crush Rahab like one who is slain. You scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. God is to be respected. We don't exist if it wasn't for God. The world that we see around us, the complexities of it, take a time, you know, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about the creation and the details of it. And when you look at all the little things, even to the minute scale that God is taking care of, and designed into his creation, it leaves you awestruck that we serve a God who is that mighty and is that great. And so Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1 and verse 17 says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges each according to his work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. It's not that just God created us, but we are going before God in judgment. God's going to look at what we did. And so we ought to conduct our lives with fear. We ought to understand that we need to measure up to a standard that God expects of us. So how do we accomplish a reverence for God? A lot of times, how do we hold God in reverence? A lot of times we can learn that by looking at people that are over us already here on earth. Now, it's a shallow comparison compared to God, but it begins to give us an idea of what we're talking about. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 5. It says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. A servant, can you imagine a servant who just drags his feet every time the boss says, do this? Think about it, you know, somebody at work. He's given a task to do, and yeah, he gets it done, but you can tell that his heart's really not in it. He kind of just drags his way along, barely getting it done. Or an employee that grumbles every time he's told to do something. Yeah, he might eventually get it accomplished, but he constantly tells you why it's wrong, why he doesn't want to do it, why he thinks it's unnecessary. How long do you think somebody would remain employed who acted like that? Where each task becomes a mental wrestling match between him and the boss. Probably won't last very long, would he? But in that passage, did you notice that he mentions that we serve Christ? We work for God. And do we consider the things that God asked of us as an inconvenience? Do we drag our feet? Do we grumble about, well, why did God ever say to do this way? How much respect does an employee have that acts so badly of his boss? How much respect do we have for God in the way that we obey him? Another aspect of this. Take a look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, and look at verse 32. It says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. The aged are to be respected. After all, age is seen as a crown of glory, according to Solomon in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and in verse 31, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. We are to respect the wisdom that a person gains from years of experience. And we ought to take advantage of the advice that they give. They've gone through things. We ought to ask, because why should I make the same mistake somebody else made? We ought to get that advice. We ought to respect it if we listen to it. But that passage we read from Leviticus, it talked about giving respect to the elders, and then it said, honor God. Have you thought about that? God has lived eternally. There's no starting point. He's always been around. How much wisdom does he have? In fact, the source of all wisdom, the Bible tells us, is from God. Are we listening to God? Are we accepting His advice? That is honoring and giving reverence to God. Now take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." There are people who are over us in the church, the leaders within the church, the elders, the deacons, the preacher. All of them have as a goal to get us to heaven. We benefit from their guidance. And we ought to give respect to them for it. And in listening to the advice and giving them respect, we're showing humility. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 5, it says, "You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We are to have an attitude of humility. We're not necessarily the one in position of authority, and so we give respect to the one who has the authority. But notice how it ended there. It started talking about the elders. You know, young men give respect to the elders. But then it talks about God. And if you continue on in verse 6, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Who is watching over us more than God himself? The one who cares about us. How do I show respect to him but to be humble as he watches over me? Another one to consider is over in Ephesians chapter 6 again, this time in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 2. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." We're to give honor to our parents. Hebrews even goes a little bit further in Hebrews 12 and in verse 9. It says, "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" I want you to think about this. Did any of your parents earn your respect? It's not saying that. The reason I got born, it was because I was born to a particular set of parents. That's it. But here the respect is due because of the position that the parent is in. And that respect is also due because there's lessons to be taught. And sometimes those lessons are hard. They're not pleasant. But we respect that the parent is trying to get us ready for adulthood. So does a child show respect to his parents if he talks back or ignores what his father tells him to do? Well, no, there's no respect there. There's no acknowledgement of the parent's position. But those passages we read also compare that to God the Father. Take a look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, and in verse 10. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? Or maybe in more modern day parlance, we would say, I didn't ask to be born. Yeah, none of us did. But the fact that I am born to a particular couple, I'm commanded to give them respect. And then consider the fact, did you ask for this world to be put in place? I didn't. Did God ask my permission before I was sent here on earth? I didn't even exist, except that God made me. We're the work of God's hand. We're here because God put us here. And simply because of the position, God deserves our respect, even though there's many other reasons why he should be respected. But if we go back to verse 8 in that same chapter, Isaiah 45, verse 8. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up from it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or will the thing you are making say he has no hands? What right do we have to criticize and critique God? By his very position, we have no right. When we talk about reverence, we got to understand, we're here because God made us. When we're talking about respect, we have to respect who God is. And so the question we need to think about is, do we acknowledge the position that God has in our life? In Malachi chapter 1, God had a lot of complaints about the Israelites. And in Malachi chapter 1, and in verse 16, or 6, sorry. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. He says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I'm a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. But you say, well, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would just shut the doors, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to the setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully snip at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what is taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so that you bring the offering. Shall I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. God demands respect. The Israelites got complacent. They didn't show any respect for God. They tried to get by with the absolute minimum. They dragged themselves to worship. They'd much rather do anything else, as if God didn't notice. They dishonored God by finding his table contemptible. They gave less than their best to God. They looked down on the offerings. They declared God's worship to be boring. Were the Israelites viewing God as being above them or beneath them? When you sit there and rate somebody else, who do you think is greater? And do you not see the same today? People are not satisfied with God's commands. They want to liven up worship. The people want to be entertained. The old forms of worship are just too boring. Service to God in worship is viewed as a chore instead of a time to give respect. We need to give God obedience. Take a look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It's not just obedience in form either. It's obedience in mind. It's a willingness to do what the Lord asks because of who God is. And yet so many people approach God's commands as, well, do I have to? And then you got others who try to edit God's commands. Well, I'm sure God won't mind if I just do it this way. Where's the respect? Our service to God should be in reverence and awe. We have to respect God for who he is. We have to fear God because of what he can do to us. And so I want you to start thinking this month that we're going to talk about respect. But the greatest respect we have to have is, do we revere God and hold him in awe? I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to become a child of God. For those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.